This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وأصحابه ولا رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته Welcome to a juz a day. Alhamdulillah, today we are covering the 14th juz of the Quran. This juz begins with Surah Hijr, ayah number 1, and it ends with Surah Nahl at the end of Surah Nahl. Surah Hijr is Surah number 15, and Surah Nahl is Surah number 16. So both of these surahs in its entirety are covered by this juz. Both of these are Meccan revelations, which means that they are surahs that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent to the Prophet ﷺ before he went from Mecca to Medina. And primarily the audience in it are people who don't believe in the oneness of Allah, that Allah should be the only one who is worthy of worship. That's one of the things that they don't accept. It speaks about, or those people also did not accept or did not understand the concept of prophethood. Who are the prophets that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends? Why does he send prophets? You know, what is the reasoning for that? Why not a superhuman person? Why not an angel be a prophet? And then they had a problem with the concept of being resurrected after death. Three main points of contention the people of Mecca had with the Prophet ﷺ. And the Quran, the Meccan Quran, will address many of these, all three of these topics and many other related topics. Today we are starting with Surah Hijr. Surah Hijr speaks about, the theme of Surah Hijr is Allah is the protector and the provider. He is the one who protects us and provides for us. Let's start at the very beginning of the introduction with A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitan Rajeem. Alif Lam Ra, Tilka Ayatul Kitabi Wa Qur'anim Mubin. Alif Lam Ra, these are the verses of a clear book, the Qur'an. رُبَمَا يَوَدُّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لَوْ كَانُوا مُسْلِمِينَ. A time will surely come when those who are bent on denying the truth will wish that they had surrendered themselves to God. They will wish, the people of Mecca will wish one day that they were Muslims. Those people who rejected the faith, a day will come that they will wish that they were also Muslims. ذَرْهُمْ يَأْكُلُوا وَيَتَمَتَّعُوا. So leave them to eat and enjoy. وَيُلْهِهِمُ الْأَمَلُ. Let them be beguiled by vain hopes. Let them be, disillusioned by their thoughts. فَسَوْفَ يَعْلَمُونَ. For soon they will realize the truth. وَمَا أَهْلَكْنَا مِنْ قَرْيَةٍ إِلَّا وَلَهَا كِتَابٌ مَعْلُومٌ. We have never destroyed a township without a definitive decree having been issued. Okay, it didn't happen just by circumstance or by randomness. It's a kitabum ma'loom. They had a messenger, they had a message, and they were given time. ما تسبق من أمة أجلها وما يستأخرون. No people can forestall their doom, nor can they delay it. It is something that when it does come, it is inevitable. This is something Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about now. The people of the past, people who receive messengers, and then they would reject the messenger and mock the messenger and reject the messenger. Allah says these people were destroyed. And we've spoken at length about this concept previously. وَقَالُوا يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِي نُزِّلَ عَلَيْهِ الذِّكْرُ إِنَّكَ لَمَجْنُونَ. They say, you to whom the reminder has been sent down, you are surely possessed. This is actually not the best translation. The best translation would be, a better translation would be, وَقَالُوا يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِي نُزِّلَ عَلَيْهِ الذِّكْرِ. Hey, you who thinks he's receiving revelation, إِنَّكَ لَمَجْنُونَ, you are surely crazy. That's what they were saying to the Prophet ﷺ. Okay? Again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving an example of history. In history, when people will deny messengers, they will be destroyed. And they mocked the messengers, they were destroyed. Quraysh, you're doing the same thing. لَوْ مَا تَأْتِينَا بِالْمَلَائِكَةِ إِن كُنْتَ مِنَ الصَّادِقِينَ. Why do you not bring down the angels upon us if you are truthful? Allah says, we only send down angels to bring justice, and then they will not be reprieved. Meaning the angels that Allah sends down as a response to a people's demands don't come with the message. They don't come with pamphlets and flyers, right? They don't come to give da'wah. They come to extract the divine justice and the punishment that people who have rejected the messengers to extract that punishment upon them. So what are you asking for, Quraysh? Are you asking for destruction here? Are you unaware of what has happened in the past? That we have sent people before, messengers to people before. And whenever a messenger would come to them, they would mock that messenger. La yu'minuna bihi. They will not believe in that messenger. They would not accept his message. And that is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَقَدْ خَلَتْ سُنَّةُ الْأَوَّلِينَ. This is the example of the people of the past. That's how they were. Quraysh, this is no new tale. What you are telling us, it is the same thing that you are. What you're doing is exactly what people in the past would do. This is actually something that's interesting, because there is a parallel here between Quraysh and the atheist person. The person who is, you know, fully like in their mind, there's no purpose to life. It's just, you eat, drink, enjoy yourself and whatnot, right? It's a very interesting parallel, because they would also say, وَلَوْ فَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ بَابًا مِنَ السَّمَاءِ فَظَلُّ فِيهِ يَعْرُجُونَ. Even if a door had opened from the heaven and they began ascending through it, they would say, لَقَالُوا إِنَّمَا سُكِّرَتْ أَبْصَارُنَا. Our eyes have been dazzled and we have been bewitched. Meaning like the denial of miracles for them was paramount to their worldview, okay? They're like, this is just, you know, this is a magician. This guy is playing tricks on us. And it's the same thing. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you mention the concept of prophethood to people who don't accept the existence of God, then for them, this is something that's a fable. And anything that's a miracle is also a fable. Okay. And if you were to point out something that is a miracle, they will try to explain it away. For example, the Quran is a miracle. Ayah number 9 says, "Inna nahnu nazzalna dhikra wa inna lahu lahafidhun." It is we who have sent down the reminder, and we will most certainly safeguard it. This is a very beautiful thing the Quran says. It's a, like I mentioned to you before, a proof of falsifiability. What does that mean? That means the Quran is saying, if you can disprove the Quran's claim, you have disproven the entirety of the message. Yes? If you can prove the Quran was not preserved, then you have falsified it. But we can show the Quran has been preserved. We can go back to the earliest manuscripts and find them being dated to the time of the Prophet ﷺ. And you have the oral tradition, the tradition of the Quran being relayed verbally from, you know, generation to generation, along with its documentation. Unprecedented the way the Quran was preserved. And absolutely no, it leaves no doubt if you study the preservation of the book that this was preserved. So this is a proof of falsifiability or a test of falsifiability, and that's something that people cannot falsify. The Quran makes this as a prediction, because when this surah was revealed, the Quran was not preserved at that time. It was still being revealed. So on both ends, it proves to be true. It was a prediction and it came true. And it's a challenge that has not been met. Both things. So this is the thing. Even if you were to mention something that's as miraculous as this, as unprecedented as this is in history, because no other book has ever actually been preserved this way. No other historical text of a scripture. You mentioned that the person who doesn't want to believe, or a person whose worldview is based on the fact that, or based on the assumption that there is no God, then that person will try to explain this away with a whole bunch of mental gymnastics, okay? And that is the crux of the matter. A messenger is sent by Allah. He brings his revelation. He brings miracles. And then people, they reject him in various ways. The Qurayshi people did that. People before Quraysh did that, and people today do that, and therein is the parallels, and we can study them and take some heed from them. Okay, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that He is the provider, right? He is the provider. Again, the theme of the surah is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who provides. Look at that. He says, "Wal arda madadnaha," ayah number 19. We have spread out the earth and set upon it firm mountains and caused everything to grow in due proportion. Okay, وَأَنْبَتْنَا فِيهَا مِنْ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ مَوْزُونَ. How amazing is the creation of Allah. The earth, if you go and travel, how beautiful it is. It doesn't need any landscaping, right? It is in its the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes care of its landscaping the way it is. لَكُمْ فِيهَا مَعَايِشٍ. We have provided therein a means of livelihood for you. And for all creatures whom you do not provide for, right? All types of creatures that live, they survive, they thrive, and we don't have to be burdened by their survival. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides for them, creates the system for them to survive, for them to hunt and eat, and then provides for them, individually, every single creature. Everything, there is not a thing, but its storehouses are with us. What does this mean? إِلَّا عِنْدَنَا خَزَائِنُهُ, meaning its risk is with us, like it's our responsibility, but we send it down, each thing in an appropriate measure. Nobody's given the risk all together in one shot. Your whole lifetime of sustenance is provided to you all in one shot. That's not what happens. Allah gives it according to a plan. قَدَرٍ مَعْلُومٍ. Okay? This is how Allah provides for all. He provides through the pollinating winds. وَأَرْسَلْنَا الرِّيَاحَ لَوَاقِحَ. Fertilizing winds, that's the translation. A better translation perhaps would be pollinating winds. Okay? These winds, they pollinate the flowers, yes? And that causes fruits to grow. That is the process that happens. We don't have to do anything, and it takes place. Allah says this is His doing, His system, His will that executes it. فَأَنزَلْنَا مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مَا. And then He brings down from the sky water for you for drink. وَأَسْقَيْنَاكُمُوهُ وَمَا أَنْتُمْ لَهُ بِخَازِنِينَ. And it's not you who could have stored it up for yourselves. Okay, the storage of water, even though we have tanks now that we store water in, of course, but the water, it's stored in lakes and ponds, in wells, fresh water. Yes, all of these things, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created systems for them to naturally store water. And how beautiful are they, right? That allows us to live as a community, as humans. He points to that He is the provider, He is the sustainer. وَإِنَّا لَنَحْنُ نُحْيِي وَنُمِيتُ وَنَحْنُ الْوَارِثُونَ. We are the ones who bring to life, and we are the ones who cause death, and we are the inheritors of all things. Allah is the one who gives life and causes death. The creation and resurrection are both linked here. Allah mentions creation here, and number 25, Allah mentions resurrection. It is your Lord who will gather them. He is the all-wise and all-knowing. Okay, now here is this is the introduction, or Allah mentioning He's the provider. This is something to show that He cares for us. He loves us. He is there to be. He is there for us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? Why wouldn't you want to worship the one who cares for you so much? Why wouldn't you reciprocate the love for the one who loves you so deeply? These are examples that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives. And then He goes to a historical narrative. He will mention the story of the creation of Adam. Ayah number 26. We created man out of dry clay from molded mud, and jinn we created from a flaming fire. Ayah number 28. When your Lord said to the angels, I'm about to bring into being a man wrought from mud, min salsalin min hama'in masnoon. And then this is the one that you should, when I breathe into this man my spirit, my ruh, then you fall prostrate to this, to him, right? The human being is a product of the body and the soul. The body is from, Allah, the body of Adam alayhi salam was from mud, salsalin min hama'in masnoon. The soul was from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then every single soul after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Adam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created their soul even before their body was made. All people since Adam, their bodies are created through the natural process of being conceived, yes, in the wombs of their mothers. But when they are conceived, the ruh is now sent to become one with that person. And that when that it becomes one with that person, that's when that fetus becomes alive. All right. The Prophet has informed us that is the day number 120 in the term of the pregnancy of the woman. Then, subhanAllah, We are called the ones, we are from the earth, right? And we are going to go back to the earth. The idea here, we're from the earth, is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created our father from the earth. And then we will go back to the earth as in when we die. Also, we are from the earth in the sense that we eat from the earth. We are sustained by what grows on the earth. So our bodies are sustained by what's in the earth. But our souls are sustained by the revelation that Allah has sent. And that is the Quran. So you see like the parallel here. Allah mentions the creation of Adam and how he was created from earth and his soul. But he also mentions that the Quran over here, إِنَّا نَحْنُ نَزَّلْنَا الذِّكْرَ وَإِنَّا لَهُ لَحَافِظُونَ, and calls the bringer of the Quran, Jibreel alayhi salam, الروح, تَنَزَّلُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ وَالْرُوحُ, right? The soul brings the Quran because our soul is sustained by the Quran and spirituality, and our bodies are sustained by what's in the earth. Okay, the angels made sajda except Iblis, who was أَبَا أَن يَكُونَ مَعَ سَاجِدِينَ, he refused. Okay, Allah asked, why did you not prostrate? He said, because I am not going to do this. Oh Allah, it's not befitting for me, right? The arrogance to say, oh Allah, you chose wrong. You picked the wrong one. You should have picked me. I should have been the one that the angels should be doing sajda to. Of course, that was something that was unacceptable. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, you are cursed and you have to leave. He says, my Lord, give me respite until the day of resurrection. Allah said, yes, you have respite. Ayah number 37. إِلَى يَوْمِ الْوَقْتِ الْمَعْلُومِ Ayah number 38. You notice these are very small ayat. Yes, very short ayat. A very beautiful rhythmic ayat on top of that. Okay. Now, Shaitan says something very interesting. Iblis says something. قَالَ رَبِّي بِمَا أَغْوَيْتَنِي لَأُزَيِّنَنَّ لَهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَأُغْوِيَنَّهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ سُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ. He says, since you have let me go astray. It's your fault, my Lord, that I went astray. It's your fault that I turned out this way, O Allah. Because of you, I have lost. So now I shall now, in turn, as if I'm going to harm you, I am going to make the path of evil alluring to the children of Adam. Do you see this rotten attitude? إِلَّا عِبَادَكَ الْمُخْلَصِينَ, except your chosen servants. Do you see the rotten attitude of Iblis? He is blaming Allah for his flaws. And that is the attitude of the devil. Blaming firstly Allah for your problems, or blaming Allah for something that happens, as if that is what Allah wants to do, as if he wants to hurt us. Allah is he's a sustainer. He loves and protects us, and everything we have he has given us. Yes, from the breath that we take, to the food we consume, the way it's in our bodies, to the environment that's around us, these big picture things, to small things that individuals have. All of it Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us as a mercy. Yet, Iblis, the attitude of blaming Allah for misfortune is like the attitude of the devil. As you've expressed many times, the Quran says that life is a test. Ups and downs of life are a test. And you know, you don't blame Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the ups and downs. Rather, you say, I trust Allah. Allahu ghalibun ala amrihi. Allah knows what he's doing and he has a plan and he will bring me through. I have to trust him, right? In his wisdom. That's the attitude of the believer. That's the attitude of the believer. Okay, of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, my servants, look at this ayah, ayah 42. You shall have no power over my true servants. You will have no power over my true servants. The devil has no authority or power over those who are truly devoted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The devil can whisper, but that's all. And if you become strong spiritually, the devil's whisperings are not going to affect you. This is a very beautiful concept in Islam. You can overcome the temptations of the devil. You can. You're not subservient to the devil in any way. Okay. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the righteous and how they will have beautiful what they attain in Jannah. Inna al-muttaqina fi jannati wa uyun. Truly the God-fearing should dwell amid gardens and fountains. Udkhuluha bi salamin aminin. Enter in peace and security. What an amazing thing. There is no fear, there's no grief, It's peace and security. It's happiness all around. نَزَعْنَا مَا فِي صُدُورِهِمْ مِنْ غِلٍ. We shall cleanse their hearts of all traces of ill will. إِخْوَانًا. They will be like brethren. عَلَى سُرُرٍ مُتَقَابِلِينَ. Seated on couches facing one another. What an incredible scene from the Day of Judgment. What an incredible scene from Jannah. What an incredible gift that you have no ill will towards anybody. How amazing. If you ever experience life this way, right? You are experiencing a piece of paradise. That's what you're experiencing. If you have no ill will or any beef towards anybody, you are living a piece of paradise. May Allah give us these kinds of content hearts. Ameen. They will not be affected by any weariness therein, and they will never be made to leave. It's a permanent place. There's no fear of losing it. There's no fear of any type. It's pure bliss. That's what paradise is, pure bliss. Allah says, Nabbi ibadi anni ana al-ghafurur rahim. Tell my servants that I alone am the forgiving and merciful one, but also that my punishment is painful and it is something that's there. Okay. What's interesting is in Surah, there's the story of Adam was mentioned before, right? In the story in Surah number 7, in Surah number 2. But in Surah number 7, Surah A'raf, Allah mentions where this thing took place. It took place in Jannah, right? Let's actually compare and contrast, because this is an important thing I wanted to just show you. How sometimes the Quran repeats its passages or repeats the story, but each time it repeats the story, there's something new that's being brought. This is important. Okay, Surah 7, Ayah 16, the Quran says, قَالَ فَبِمَا أَغْوَيْتَنِي لَأَقْعُدَنَّ لَهُمْ صِرَاطَكَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. He's talking about where he's going to sit. I will lie in ambush for them on your straight path. In Surah number 15, Ayah 39, he says how he will do it, right? He say, I shall make the path of error seem alluring to them on the earth and shall misty them. أُزَيِّنَنَّ لَهُمْ, right? Here he says, أَقْعُدَنَّ لَهُمْ صِرَاطَكَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. I'm going to come at them from their front, their back, from the top, from behind them, everywhere. I'm going to surround them, right? He's talking about where he's going to attack the human in terms of bringing his evil. Here he's saying how he's going to do it. He's going to make the life of this world seem beautiful. He's going to seem evil attractive. He's going to make temptations seem very, very strong, yes, and very irresistible. So you see how the Quran mentions stories, same story in different places, but each time there's a slightly little different flavor that it brings. And that's a deeper study. I hope you can, inshallah, notice that when you study Quran yourself, read your own translation to make a note of the differences in the narrative. It's a very beautiful thing to note. Ayah number 51 speaks about the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam and the guests of Ibrahim alayhi salam that came to tell him about that he has a son. He's going to have a son by the name of Yaqub. Ishaq. And also to tell him, ayah number 57, that what is then your business, O messengers? He said, we have been sent to a guilty people, except the household of Lot, all of whom shall be rescued, except his wife, who we have estimated to be among those who will be left behind. Okay. You see how nicely the ayah goes, right? قَوْمٍ مُجْرِمِينَ. The whole set of people are guilty. Except, there's an exception. The exception is like a subset. إِلَّا آلَ لُوت. They are not guilty. They are to be saved. The family of house Lot, they are not guilty. إِلَّا, but except the woman in the house, the wife of Lot, she is from the ones who is guilty, and she will be punished as well, right? You see, like the it's a very nice style that the Quran lays out, you know, the general and then the exception from there. Okay, just something to admire there. Okay, Lut alayhi salam, of course, when Lut alayhi salam came, he was very distressed. We spoke about the story before in Surah number 7. He was very distressed about what is going to happen, and so the angel said to him, "No, we are bringing you the truth, and you should not be in doubt about what we're about to say. What you should do, O Lut, is ayah 65. فَأَسْرِي بِأَهْلِكَ بِقِطَعٍ مِّنَ اللَّيْلِ. leave with your family sometime in the latter part of the night and walk behind them. وَاتَّبِعْ أَدْبَارَهُمْ وَلَا يَلْتَفِدْ مِنْكُمْ أَحَدْ and let none of you look back. وَامْضُوا حَيْثُ تُؤْمَرُونَ go where you are commanded. Okay, oh, Lut alayhi salam, this is what you should do. Leave at night because this is going to be a disastrous punishment. You follow, you walk behind your family as like a protection for them. Okay, don't look back because this is a devastating punishment and it's going to be unbearable. Okay, and that is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. It's going to be, the decree is that they will be destroyed by the morning. Of course, the people, they were in a state, this was a community of homosexuals. They were coming in a manner that was extremely disgraceful. Okay, extremely disgraceful. Lut alayhi salam said, don't disgrace me. Don't try to, you know, abduct my guests. قَالُوا أَوَلَمْ نَنْهَكَ عَنِ الْعَالَمِينَ They said, did we not forbid you to extend hospitality to strangers? Right? This was an interesting statement. نَنْهَكَ عَنِ الْعَالَمِينَ It's like this could carry a bunch of meanings, a couple of interpretations. But this is the idea that, like, didn't we tell you to, like, just essentially mind your business and not host people, you know, don't, you know, stay in your lane in a way, right? He continues, Lut alayhi salam continued to invite them, said, hey, these are my daughters, i.e. the women of the city. They are purer for you if you were to engage in intimacy. But of course, they were, لَعَمْرُكَ إِنَّهُمْ لَفِي سَكْرَتِهِمْ يَعْمَهُونَ Ayah number 72. They wandered on in their wild intoxication. This is what Allah describes their state as being. They were like intoxicated. The desires was so intense that they were wildly intoxicated. You see how the shaitan said in the very beginning of this surah, right? Or in the passage about shaitan, he said, I will make their desires pleasing to them. You see? And this is an example of that. That these people were so consumed by what they wanted to do that they could not, like, all rationality left their minds. All dignity had left them. Okay? And at that point, the blast overtook them at sunrise, and the punishment was so severe that the town was turned upside down. وَجَعَلْنَا عَالِيَهَا سَافِلَهَا And then there were rained upon them, stones were rained. Okay, then there is Ashabul Aika. Ashabul Aika are the people of Shu'aib, the people of the wood. This Ashabul Aika are the people who would worship trees. They would think that the trees have spirits. That's where, you know, the knock on wood. Perhaps that's where that comes from, because you think that the trees have some spirits and there's some divinity ascribed to them. But of course, these are nonsensical things to believe. They were wrongdoers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we took them to task. Okay. Then Ashabul Hijr, that's where the name of the surah comes. The people of Hijr also rejected the messengers. Who are the people of Hijr? This is Thamud, right? This is Thamud. وَإِلَىٰ ثَمُودَ أَخَاهُمْ صَالِحًا صالح عليه السلام was sent to Thamud, and that is the people that are referenced here. An interesting thing to notice here about the Qur'an. The Qur'an is mentioning the story of the people of Thamud and the people of Ad, Prophet Hud and Prophet Salih, in more detail than others, in the sense of there is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the name of the people. Right? The name of the people is Ad. The name of the prophet sent to them is Hud. The name of the people is Thamud. The people, the prophet is Salih. Okay? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also mentions the place. The place where Ad lived is Ahqaf. And that's coming later in Surah number 46. The place where Thamud lived is Hijr. Ashabul Hijr. So the tribe is mentioned. The place is mentioned. The prophet is mentioned. This is actually not what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does. For example, about Lut alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not mention that he was sent to Sodom and Gomorrah. Okay? Because that part was well known in the Bible, right? Biblically, that was well known. So the audience who would listen to it, they would know what this is talking about. But these prophets and these people were unknown to the Christian and Jewish community. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is providing some more details there. Even though the audience is primarily Makkah, but of course, the Quran is revealed for all peoples and of all times. And this is an interesting observation that you should make, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving more details when those details are necessary. Of course, the people of Hijr, Thamud, disobeyed and rejected. كذب أصحاب الحجر المرسلين, they rejected our messengers. As I mentioned before last time, they rejected one prophet as if they rejected all prophets. And these were people who were extremely powerful, carved out dwellings in the mountains, lived in security, right? They lived in such with such safety and security. The houses were built in mountains. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that a blast overtook them. A sayha, a shriek, you can even say, overtook them. They died because of it. So the earthquake couldn't do anything to them because they lived in mountains. They thought so. The shriek, a blast was so deafening, it took their souls, and that was a punishment that was sent. فَمَا أَغْنَى عَنْهُمْ مَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ. What was the value of what they acquired? This is a very interesting question. What is the value of what you accumulate and what you hoard? At the end of the day, you will leave it behind. You will leave it behind. And when you meet your Lord, you're going to be by yourself. وَلَقَدْ جِئْتُمُونَا فُرَادَ كَمَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ أَوَّلَ مَرَّةٍ. You're going to come by yourself to your Lord, just like you were born by yourself individually, as an individual. And that's the thing for us to consider. What is it that we are leaving behind? The theme you see here, Allah is a provider. He's a protector. He provides for all. Even those who were, obstinate enemies. But he's a protector of the believers. He's a protector of the believers in this world. The believers like the prophets and their followers. And then he is a protector of the believers on the day of judgment, ultimately. Okay? And he is the one who will hold accountable those who rejected the prophets and rejected Allah's signs that are all around. Signs like, وَمَا خَلَقْنَا السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ Ayah 85. We've created the heavens and the earth and all that is between in accordance with the requirements of truth and wisdom. Surely the hour is coming. So overlook their faults with gracious forgiveness. فَصْفَحِ الصَّفْحَ الْجَمِيلِ. How amazing is this? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling the Prophet to be gracious in overlooking the faults. May Allah give us this kind of character. I mean, إِنَّ السَّاعَ لَآتِيَةً. The Prophet is told, the judgment is coming on the day of judgment. O Prophet, your job is not to hold them accountable. Your job is to convey the message. Your Lord is the one who will hold them accountable. You, O Prophet, have been given the 7 oft-recited verses. That's Surah Al-Fatiha. And the great Qur'an. The surah began, if you remember, by mentioning the greatness of the Qur'an, as the Qur'an will be preserved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number 9. And it ends, or it towards the concluding part, also comes back and speaks about the greatness of the Qur'an. And what does the greatness of the Qur'an, on an individual level, what should it do to our souls? It should give us contentment. It should give us peace and serenity. لا تمدن عينيك إلى ما متعنا به أزواجا منهم. Do not strain your eyes towards the worldly benefits we have bestowed on some of them. Okay, don't strain your eyes. You know, be content with what you have. Be ambitious. Try to get, try to accumulate the good in life. No one is telling you not to do that. But don't become distressed if someone has more than you. وَخْفِضْ, be content with what you have. And that is that peace and serenity that that Islam will give you. وَخْفِضْ جَنَاحَكَ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And lower your wing of mercy to the believers. The Quran says something very interesting here. وَلَقَدْ نَعْلَمُ. Ayah number 97. Ayah number 97 is, we indeed know that your heart is distressed at what they say. The Prophet ﷺ was hurt by what the people would say to him, right? This was not easy for him to hear statements such as this one, the one in the very beginning of the surah. إِنَّكَ لَمَجْنُونَ. Hey you thinking you're receiving revelation, you're crazy. This was hard for him because he was the most upright, the most moral, the best of that city, of the world. But particularly in that city, at that time, he was the best person, even before he became a prophet, even before he received revelation. So for him to hear, going from being so loved and so admired to all of a sudden be vilified, that is hard. It'll be hard for anybody. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we understand, we know it hurts you, O Prophet, but what should you do? Keep going. Fasabbih bihamdi rabbika. Glorify your Lord with his praise. Praise him. Glorify him. Wakum min as-sajidin. Prostrate yourself. Better translation, be with those who prostrate. Meaning, prostrate, this is an expression for pray, right? Make sajda. But be with those who do so, i.e. keep that as your company. Keep that good company. Pray together. That's going to bring you peace. That's going to allow you to give, that will give you the strength to keep going forward. And that's going to give you the strength and courage to bear the insults and the difficult statements these people are saying that are hurtful. This is going to be your fuel, your remembrance of Allah and your prayer. And your prayer, particularly with those around you, and keep doing this. وَعْبُدْ رَبَّكَ. Keep this up until حَتَّى يَأْتِيكَ الْيَقِينَ, until certainty comes to you. What is a certainty? Death. Al-yaqeen here is death. It has actually two meanings. حَتَّى يَأْتِيكَ الْيَقِينَ. Keep going until you're certain, like you see the result with your eyes, you're certain in the promise of Allah, right? And now you are motivated to continue. But also keep going until the certain thing comes to you, which is death, because death is a certainty, and that's what the Quran labels it as. So that is Surah Al-Hijr. Then we go to Surah An-Nahl. That's a very nice, I guess Surah, there's a nice segue here. حَتَّى يَأْتِيكَ الْيَقِينَ, until what's certain comes to you. Allah says, what's certain is coming. أَتَى أَمْرُ اللَّهِ. The decree of Allah is coming, so do not hasten it. فَلَا تَسْتَعْجِلُهُ. The day of judgment is going to come. A person's death will arrive at its time. Don't hasten it. What does that mean? Don't demand punishment from Allah, O people of Quraysh. It's unbecoming. It's unbecoming. And it's counterproductive. It doesn't do anything. Because when the punishment comes, you can't do anything at that point. Take the opportunity, the privilege of being alive and well and having agency right now to figure out your purpose in life. Subhanahu wa ta'ala amma yushrikun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is above, he is exalted from what they associate with him. They think that these statements are inappropriate to be said about Allah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says he is exalted above him. Okay, so what is Surah An-Nahl? Surah An-Nahl is about the honeybee. That's what it's named after, the honeybee. So we'll see what the honeybee is about in a bit. But what is this surah? It talks about Allah's blessings. The absolutely incredible amount of blessings Allah has given us, and how it shows Allah's love for us, his care for us, how he truly is our provider, our sustainer. He truly wants best for us, and what we should take from his blessings is we become grateful. It should make us grateful. It should make us wanting to love our Lord. That's the engine that should drive a believer, love for Allah and gratitude for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay. خلق السماوات والأرض بالحق تعالى عما يشركون. He has created the heavens and the earth for a true purpose. This is a beautiful statement. Right? It is not out of random chance that the cosmos came into existence. This order we see, right? We see order everywhere you look, from the molecular level, right, the absolute, even finer than the molecular level, all the way to the greatest, most macro version view of the universe. You see absolutely incredible order, unlike anything else. Okay, that's a purpose. Allah has done this by design, intentionally. It's not all random. All of this order cannot just be by chance. That's what Allah is saying. And if you think it is by chance, ta'ala amma yushrikun, he's exalted above these kinds of inappropriate statements. خلق الإنسان من نطفة. Look at our origins. Created man out of a drop of sperm. Man here, of course, insan is for both men and women. Okay, the translation says man. Okay, insan is man and woman both. Humans. Created humans from a drop of sperm. فَإِذَا هُوَ خَصِيمٌ مُبِينٌ. And yet he shows himself to be openly contentious. He is loudmouth. He has a big mouth. He likes to hear his voice. He says things that are inappropriate. He makes claims that are fallacious. But Just look at your origins, man. You were from a drop of sperm. خَلَقَ الْإِنسَانَ مِنْ نُطْفَةٍ. Shouldn't that create a little bit of humility in the human being? Shouldn't that humble us a little bit to recognize, look at where we came from? Let us recognize that if we came from such humble origins, right, how can we lose humility as we gain strength? Right? That's a very, that's not the correct way of going about and doing things. That's actually a very bad thing to do. وَالْأَنْعَامَ خَلَقَهَا has created cattle for you. From the cattle, you derive food, clothing, and numerous other benefits. Okay? And you are the cattle looks pleasant when you bring them home in the evenings and you take them out to pasture. Now, this is something maybe we can't relate to because we don't have cattle that we bring at home and then leave. Right? But what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying here is something that's deep. He's created things in the world that we use for food and survival. Lakum fiha dif'un. Food and clothing. That's our basic necessities. Okay? But also, there is beauty. We are creatures who desire beauty. We love beauty. And Allah has created that in us, cultivated that in us, and allowed us to express that in various ways. Like the Prophet said, Inna Allah jameelun yuhibbul jamal. Allah is beautiful and He loves beauty. And this is an example. This ayah is an example of that. Ayah number 7. وَتَحْمِلُ أَثْقَالَكُمْ. These animals Allah has created for you, they carry your loads to places that you otherwise would not have reached without great hardship. Unless otherwise without great hardship, your Lord is compassionate and merciful. Allah has made your task easier by allowing you to make these, by making these animals subservient to you, and they can do jobs for you. وَالْخَيْلَ وَالْبِغَالِ. Horses and mules, والحمير, donkeys, لتركبوها, you may ride them, وزينة, and that you can be put, they can be put on show, right? A horse, even today, is extremely expensive. And you know, people who own horses, expensive horses, they spend a fortune on them because it's a beautiful creation and it's a beautiful, thing to have. And of course, it's graceful and fast. ويخلق ما لا تعلمون, and he creates other things that you don't even know. These are things Allah's pointing out. This is the stuff you see. Yes, there's other things you don't even know. And how true is that? Even today, we are continuously finding new types of fish in the depths of the ocean, under the twilight zone. We're still discovering the caves around the earth. We still don't know. The most of the ocean is unexplored. Most of the Pacific is unexplored. How in immense is Allah's creation just on the earth, just on our little planet, all right? وَيَخْلُقُ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. He's pointing out his magnificence and his blessings, okay? He is the one who the straight path leads to God, and there are ways which deviate from the right course. Allah not only creates, but for us, He has created in us this desire to find purpose, and that purpose leads back to God. That morality, that fitrah, that moral compass within us, He's created that us for us as well. And that's different for us compared to animals. He is the one who has sent down the sky, water from the sky, rain, and we drink from that, and it causes trees to grow. That's pasture, and that causes us to have the food that we eat, the fruits that we enjoy, the luxuries that we have. Surely these are signs for people who reflect. يتفكرون. And then there is, Allah has put in the system. سَخَّرَ لَكُمُ اللَّيْلَ وَالنَّهَارِ. A system that is subservient to you. Our lives revolve around this. Okay. The alternation of the night and the day, the sun and the moon, our times, our calendars, everything. Work hours, everything is like determined in the system. No one even just like came up with it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who made it, and we found ourselves in the middle of it. It's for us. والنجوم مسخراتٌ بأمري. The stars are subservient to you by His command. What does that mean? These things that look random, you can study them and you can utilize them. You can use them for guidance. You can study them and to figure out the origins of the universe. إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِقَوْمِ يَعْقِلُونَ In this there are signs for people of understanding. You have to be a person who thinks, reflect. You have to be a person who uses their mind, aql, understanding. You have to be a person who not just is observing the universe and saying, oh, pretty cool, right? وَمَا ذَرَى لَكُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ مُخْتَلِفًا أَلْوَانُهُ On the earth, he has fashioned for you objects of various hues. The diversity of his creation. The diversity of his creation. In that, there's a sign for people, يَذَّكَّرُونَ Who pay heed. You have to pay heed to this. You have to try to connect the dots back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is the one who has enabled us to sail on the ocean, on the open waters. He's able, so we can catch fish and we can eat it. Lahman tariyan, by the way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls fish, lahman tariyan, fresh seafood. And if you eat seafood, you will sense it's got this element of freshness in it. And you take out from it ornaments that you wear, right? Pearls, valuable items. We wear them, we sell them, they're commodities. And you see the ships that sail, مَوَاخِرَ فِيهِ Like they're cleaving through it. They're like a little mini mountain. And how large are the tankers, subhanAllah, that sail the oceans? لِتَبْتَغُوا مِنْ فَضْلِهِ So you may seek his bounties. All trade in the world. What does it go through? On the ships. Right, that's how people make money. That's how economies run. That's how we have the good stuff that we had. That's why you can go on Amazon.ca and order something, and it will come to your house, right? Because it was made in China, shipped through across the world by لِتَرَى الْفُلْكَ مَوَاخِرَ فِيهِ وَلِتَبْتَغُوا مِنْ فَضْلِهِ So you may seek his bounty. These ships are bringing these to us. وَلَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ Perhaps you will feel grateful that Allah has made this system for you to thrive in. SubhanAllah, these are signs. Allah is pointing this out to us. Maybe we can be thankful to Him. Ayah number 16, before that. Alamat wa bin najmi hum yahtadun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent up landmarks and by stars people set their course. I told you about stars, right? But this is actually an interesting ayah. Wa bin najmi hum yahtadun. It speaks about the importance of using Allah's creation to calculate. Yes? People use the creation of Allah to do the calculations, to figure out a course. And this ayah is actually what some scholars, even older scholars like Ramli and others, who are, you know, about 600 or 700 years ago that lived, they use this as evidence that, you know, you can calculate the times for the calendar. Yeah, you can calculate that. It's an interesting position that they base based on this ayah, ayah number 16, وَبِن نَجْمِهُمْ يَهْتَدُونَ And other, types of evidences that you can find. أَفَمَنْ يَخْلُقُ كَمَنْ لَا يَخْلُقُ Here's the question. After Allah points out all these beautiful things, He says, is he who creates like the one who does not create? Are they the same? أَفَلَا تَذَكَّرُونَ Will you not think? Will you not ponder? Would you not pay attention and take some heed? How can someone who was created like a man be God? How can he be God? How can an idol be God? How can all of this be without a God? أَفَلَا تَذَكَّرُونَ Will you not pay attention? وَإِنْ تَعُدُّ نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا If you try to count God's blessings, you will never be able to number them. The idea is they're so overpowering, so numerous that we will be we won't be able to fully appreciate and fully enumerate them. You can list them out if you wanted to list them out. Maybe you can list them all out. But do you fully appreciate and fully understand how valuable that is? Do you really understand the value of us being able to take a breath? Yes? Can we really fully grasp it? Right? But لا تحصوها. You're not going to be able to grasp. And this is a basic example. You go down the line, it's too many. Inna Allah al-Ghafoorur Rahim. The point is, we have to understand Allah is most forgiving and merciful, and we in turn should be thankful for Allah, for Allah's blessings, for His favors, for His grace. Okay. Ayah number 24 speaks about a contrast in attitude between the believers and the disbelievers. Okay. The disbelievers, when they hear these, وَذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ مَاذَا أَنزَلَ رَبُّكُمْ قَالُوا أَسَاطِيرُ الْأَوَّلِينَ. When they are asked, what has your Lord, what is it that your Lord has sent down? They say, fables of the ancients, stories of the ancients. These are just tales people used to tell in the past, Adam and this and that. But that is what they say. That's how they, that's the mental gymnastics they use to convince themselves that they're on the right path and it's okay to just enjoy life and forget about any more bigger purpose. لِيَحْمِلُوا أَوْزَارَهُمْ كَامِلًا. These words affect other people. Yes, of course. But they will bear their burdens. They will bear the burden of their ingratitude and their disbelief. But also they will bear the burdens وَمِنْ أَوْزَارِ الَّذِينَ يُضِلُّونَهُمْ بِغَيْرِ عِلْمٍ. As well as some of the burdens of those whom they led astray without knowledge. Allahu Akbar. What does this mean? It doesn't mean that the ones who were led astray by these people's statements, these people who say these things, they're influential, they're powerful, they explain, they brush away the concept of God, right? If you study, you know, I have a friend who did his PhD in physics. He said, everybody around me, he's a very good friend of mine, alhamdulillah. He's like, everybody around me is an atheist. They think it's a joke that I pray Salah. That's how curriculum is. In our society, it's meant to completely discredit and remove the concept of God. Totally remove it and disregard it and turn it into fables. Now, when society, the leaders, the intelligent people of society, the thought leaders, the researchers, etc., when they say these things, it's going to seep down to the lower levels. The undergrad miskin is going to also swallow this hook, line, and sinker, right? Thinking he's very smart, okay? Becoming misguided, okay? Now, here's the thing. The Quran says everybody carries their own burdens. You cannot blame another person. Hey, it's your fault. That's because of you. I got misguided. It's not going to work on the day of judgment. Everybody is accountable for their own individual choices. But the one who's saying this and who has a platform and has some audience, if they misguide others, they are going to take a piece of the disgrace, a piece of the sin, and it'll be added to their sins and to their account. Alasa amayazirun. Wow, what an evil thing it is that they will be burdened by. Right? This is a very, very powerful. The Quran, I remember I showed you a few times ayat in Surah number 14 yesterday. When Shaitan said, don't blame me, blame yourselves, right? In Surah number 7, the people who are weak will say to the people who are powerful, hey, we followed you, can you save us? No, right? And you can't. You can't blame somebody for your misguidance. Your misguidance is your choice. But if you were the one who was misguiding people, you're also taking a portion of their sins. So be cautious of what you're saying. Be mindful that those chickens will come home to roost. So this is what Allah says about the attitude of the disbelievers. Contrast that ayah number 30 with the attitude of the believers. وَقِيلَ لِلَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا. Oh, by the way, these people, of course, when they're carrying these sins and these burdens, right? They're going to be humiliated. Sorry, before I get to that. They will be disgraced on the day of judgment. And their end result will be because they were arrogant before, because they were they rejected. فَادْخُلُوا أَبْوَابَ جَهَنَّمَ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا. They will be told to enter the gates of hell to abide therein forever. All right? How evil is the end of those who are arrogant, who thought they knew better than God, who can brush off the concept of God completely. وَقِيلَ لِلَّذِينَ اتَّقُوا مَاذَا أَنزَلَ رَبُّكُمْ قَوْلُ خَيْرًا. Compare and contrast. When those who fear God are asked, what has your Lord sent down? Their reply is, khayran, goodness. Okay, there's an Arabic little subtlety here. Before I point that out, I'm going to, again, show this to you one more time, just to drive home the point. See, the sentences are the same. وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ مَاذَا أَنزَلَ رَبُّكُمْ. When they are asked, what is it sent down to you? When they are asked, i.e. this time the believers are asked, what did your Lord send down to you? Right? The contrast between the two is presented here. The previous people say, the disbelievers, the arrogant ones say, asatir al-awwaleen, stories, fables. But the believers say, khayran. It's an interesting thing. It's mansub in Arabic here, not khayrun, it's khayran. And perhaps there's some explanations for this, you know, and I don't claim to, you know, speak on behalf of Allah, okay? But the linguistic possibilities are a few for why it is khayran. The wisdom behind that is wallahu alam. Again, Allah knows the full wisdom, but the one of the wisdom that could be extrapolated is the khayran is showing the attitude of the person along with the statement, okay? And what is the attitude? They believe that everything about the revelation, everything that the deen is goodness, and all it brings is goodness, and all it brings is blessings. That's the attitude. The khayran, it being mansub this way, is showing the attitude of the believer, that they believe that everything that's good is traceable or going back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the attitude of gratitude. That's the believer, right? All goodness, they say, Allah is the one who has given us all of this goodness. And when they have this beautiful attitude, لِلَّذِينَ أَحْسَنُوا فِي هَذِهِ الدُّنْيَا حَسَنًا. By the way, of course, there's more wisdom that I don't know, and Allah knows fully the wisdom of why He chooses His words the way He chooses them. لِلَّذِينَ أَحْسَنُوا فِي هَذِهِ الدُّنْيَا حَسَنًا. The reward of those who do good works in this world is hasana. Goodness in this world. They will have good in this world. But in the next world, وَلَدَارُ الْآخِرَةِ خَيْرٌ. But the abode of the hereafter will be even better. وَلَنِعْمَ دَارُ الْمُتَّقِينَ. And what a beautiful, what a excellent home that will be for these righteous. This is the paradise of eternity. Jannatu adni yadkhulunaha. Jannatu adni yadkhulunaha. Rivers, gardens of eternity that they will enter under with their feet. The rivers will flow. They will have whatever they want in it. A reward for the righteous. Look at how beautiful Jannah is described. Jannah is not described by the specific elements in it. You have this item one, item two, item three. It's described in big picture terms because the specifics are actually beyond comprehension for us. It's going to be a place where you have no ill will, no grievances, no beef, pure serenity. You have no fear, pure security and bliss. You have whatever you want. Ma yasha'un, whatever you want, whatever your heart desires, you will get it. It will be Jannat, gardens which rivers will flow at their feet. This is the most prominent description. Jannah, rivers are flowing through it. Rivers are flowing through it. We love waterside properties. Yes, as people, we love properties that are by a body of water, right? And particularly if the body of water is a river or something where there's a bit of activity. It's not like a stagnant pond. The more interesting the water, the more valuable the property. This is the idea. This is kind of how we are as humans. We like these kind of things. In Jannah, you will get the best property imaginable. The rivers are flowing at your feet. That's how incredible it will be. Subhanallah. Ayah number, Allah talks about that this Allah has sent to every nation a messenger. وَلَقَدْ بَعَثْنَا فِي كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ رَسُولًا. Every ummah, every community who has ever lived, every nation who has ever lived, Allah has sent them a messenger. And the message of all the messengers is the same. أَنِعْبُدُ اللَّهَ وَاجْتَنِبُ الطَّاغُوتِ. Worship God alone and shun the evil one. Shun evil, shun the devil, only worship Allah. But of course, people are people. فَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ هَدَى اللَّهُ. Then there are among them some whom God guided, and among them some others who became deserving of ruin. They chose misguidance, and thus it was deserving for them to be misguided. Fasiru fil ard, so travel the earth and see the end of those who rejected the messengers. Okay, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that this is Allah's choice. He chooses who He guides. We are blessed that Allah chose to guide us. Though, O Prophet, you may be eager to guide them, God does not guide those whom He lets go astray. La yahdi may yudil, because of their refusal to give a positive response. They chose what they chose, and thus Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not guide them. This is the thing. We can only convey the message. At the end, Allah is the one who puts the desire in the person's heart and puts you know, he's the one who lets the person choose, and they are the ones, and because of their choice, they're the ones who pick. وَمَا لَهُمْ مِنْ نَاصِرِينَ, they will have no supporters. Okay, ayah number 56, and I'll skip to that ayah quickly to point out something about shirk, how shirk doesn't make any sense, worshipping anything besides Allah. They appoint a share of what we have provided for them to false gods they know nothing of. And you shall surely be questioned about the lies you've been fabricating. They assign daughters to God. Glory to him, he has no daughters, no sons. They themselves say, we want sons, but we want daughters for God. Here is the stinking attitude of these people. When the birth of a girl is announced to any of them, his face darkens and is filled with gloom. In shame, he hides himself away from his people because of the bad news he has been given. That's what he thinks, right? أَيُمْسِكُهُ عَلَىٰ هُونٍ أَمْ يَدُسُّهُ فِي التُّرَابِ. Should he keep her and feel disgraced or bury her in dust? How ill is it that they judge? What an evil attitude the people, this is the people of Arabia, how they had towards their daughters. And you know, they would consider them to be a disgrace. SubhanAllah. In Islam, we're told daughters are a blessing. The Prophet said, if a person has two daughters and he raises them well and he treats them well and they are good kids and they're believing kids, this person will enter paradise. Right? His daughters become a reason for him to enter paradise. Allahu Akbar. They're such a blessing. They're literally, you know, like Allah has given you a opportunity to earn paradise just by raising your kids, just by raising your daughters. How amazing is Islam's way, and how evil is the way of Jahiliyyah. And today, you see this attitude, unfortunately, in Muslim communities, which is a rotten attitude. The rotten attitude of the people who were disbelievers, right? This attribute of evil applies to those who do not believe in the hereafter, while to God applies the highest example, and he is the mighty and the wise. Okay? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says something very interesting. Ayah 61. If God were to take people to task for their wrongdoing, he would not even leave one creature on earth. People's mistakes, if immediately judgment was levied out upon them, no one will be left alive. Everyone will be punished and would perish. But walakin yu'akhiruhum, Allah gives them a chance. Ila ajalin musamma, until an appointed time. Right? So we can make mistakes, we can reform, we can be better, and our judgment happens after our life is done. When your life's work is complete, that is when your judgment takes place. And your life's work is complete when you're about to die. When the time comes, they cannot delay it. فَلَا يَسْتَخِلُونَ السَّاعَ. Sa'a is not an hour. Sa'a in this context is a moment. When your time of death comes, you cannot delay it a moment, and you cannot bring it forward, you know, expedite it a moment either. Okay. A few examples of Allah's creation. Creation is an example in resurrection. وَاللَّهُ أَنزَلَ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مَاءً, 65. He sends down water from the sky, and with it revives the earth when it is dead. There is surely a sign in this for people who listen. إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَةً لِقَوْمٍ يَسْمَعُونَ. Look at all the ayat Allah is showing us in this surah. SubhanAllah. Right? Here is... Allah revives the dead earth. When the spring rain comes, the plants that have withered away, they spring back to life. SubhanAllah. And that is just a sign, right? That Allah can resurrect, bring something that has, you know, essentially withered away back to life. That is an instance of how, that's a sample of how he will bring us back to life after we have passed away. Cattle. إِنَّ لَكُمْ فِي الْأَنْعَامِ لَعِبْرَةً. A great sign, a lesson in the cattle, right? Look at this. It's almost like a paradox. In the contents of their belly, from between the dung and blood, we give you pure milk to drink. Pleasant for those who drink it, right? If Allah wants to bring something pure, he brings it about. But he brings this pure thing for us in from the middle of all sorts of things that you would consider disgusting and nasty. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings it out, and it is full of nutrition and benefit for us. Labanan, khalisan, sa'igan lishareebin, pleasant, pure milk. And this is a sign for us. Think about this, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can, if he wants to protect someone against the odds, he can protect someone. This milk is, you know, coming again, you know, like it's could be contaminated, but against all odds, it is protected from contamination. And alhamdulillah, it is super useful and beneficial. Also, example in vegetation, ثمرات النخيل والأعناب, fruit of date palm, grapes that you drive intoxicants as well as wholesome food. In that, there's a sign for people of understanding, right? Grapes, you can take some it and turn it into something good, vinegar, or something to do with grapes like grape juice or just grapes, or you can turn it into something bad, let it intoxicate. You know, the product of Allah is the grape. What you make out of it, good or bad, this is something you think about. This is the إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَةً لِقَوْمٍ يَعْقِلُونَ. This is a sign for those who understand. A thing to think about the reality of Allah's creation. The reality of people's choices of good and evil. Another example is the honeybee, النَّحَل, who the surah is named after. وَأَوْحَى رَبُّكَ إِلَى النَّحَل. Your Lord inspired the bee, saying, أَنِتَّخِذِي مِنَ الْجِبَالِ بُيُوتَ. Make your homes in the mountains, in the trees, and in the structures which men erect, right? That's where the honeybee makes its hive. ثُمَّ كُلِي مِن كُلِّ الثَّمَرَةِ. Then feed on every kind of fruit and follow the trodden paths of your Lord. From its belly comes a drink with different colors, which provides healing for mankind. يَخْرُجُ مِن بُطُونِهَا شَرَابٌ مُخْتَلِفٌ أَلْوَانُهُ فِيهِ شِفَاءٌ لِلنَّاسِ. There is a healing in honey. The Quran asserts it. It's something you can use. You can say Bismillah. You can taste honey and it has a beautiful taste. You can add it to your food. You can seek cure, shifa, through it. Of course, it's not a cure for everything. It doesn't say shifa'un likulli da linnas. It just says it's a shifa. It's a type of healing. It's a source of healing. So seek that if appropriate. Inna fi dhalika la ayatan liqawmi yatafakkarun. In it is a sign for people who give thanks. Okay, Allah says there's a sign in the way you're made, you're created, then He causes you to die. Some live long lives, and then when they live a long life, they become like a child. They forget everything they had learned. That shows your humility. That shows that you are in a feeble creation. Don't think of yourself as so dominant that you're above God or you're in no need of God. Remember your origins, sperm. Look at what happens if you live long enough. You become like a child. Yes, you are a feeble creation. You depend on God. You depend on the system God has created. Don't forget that. Inna Allah alimun qadir. He is knowledgeable and powerful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's a sign in the way we have family, right? Min anfusikum azwajan. We have spouses and children, and we have grandchildren, right? And this is a sign for us how family ties bind us. Okay, all of this Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us, right, so that we can be thankful to Him. Other examples for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He gives, and I'm going to quickly highlight a few more. Wallahu akhrajatkum bi butuni ummahatikum. Allah brought you into the world from the wombs of your mother while you knew nothing, right? We knew nothing, and then He gave us the faculties of hearing and seeing so that we could acquire knowledge, and then we become who we are. The credit for that goes back to Allah, la'allakum tashkurun, because He brought us into existence, gave us the tools to acquire the knowledge, right? Look at the bird, musakhkharatun fi jawi as-sama, poised, like they're you know, in the middle of the sky. They're مَا يُمْسِكُهُنَّ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. Nothing holds them up except God. I was reading an article in New York Times about how we still don't know why birds stay afloat the way they stay afloat. We still don't fully understand the science behind it. Ayah number 80. Allahu ja'ala lakum min buyutikum sakana. Allah has made your houses a place of rest for you, made tents for you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has done all of this for you. He has given you the ability to create clothing and sustain yourself from sheep, from wool, from the fur and the hair of cattle, household goods, articles. He's given you shade from what He's created, places of shelter in mountains, garments to protect yourself, right? كَذَلِكَ يُتِمُّ نِعْمَتَهُ عَلَيْكُمْ. All of this He does to complete His favor upon you, to make you recognize that Allah is the one who's given you all this. لَعَلَّكُمْ تُسْلِمُونَ. So that you may submit to Him wholly, happily, gratefully, O Allah, you are our sustainer. At the end, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings about the example of our father Ibrahim, ayah 120, who is an example of gratitude. Inna Ibrahima kana ummatan qanitan lillahi hanifa. Walam yaku minal mushrikeen. He was a community by himself, a man who was like a nation by himself, devoted to God, true in faith. He was not a polytheist. He was thankful. Shakiran li an'umihi. Thankful for his blessings. God chose him and guided him to a straight path, gave him the blessings in the world, and hereafter he shall be among the righteous. And that's why we're told, follow the religion of Ibrahim. Ittabi' millata Ibrahima hanifa, wa ma kana min al-mushrikeen. He was not of the polytheists. We're told to follow the way of Ibrahim. Our deen is a revival of the legacy of Ibrahim alayhi salam, and not just the revival of his legacy and the rituals. It is a revival of the attitude of Ibrahim, of being grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of acknowledging Allah's blessings, of not projecting evil upon Allah or questioning Allah's wisdom, trusting that Allah has a plan, even with all the good and all the bad. That attitude of gratitude, that being thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is the millah of Ibrahim. And that's what we're asked to follow. We ask Allah to give us the ability to be thankful for all of his immense blessings and to give us the ability to be subservient to him and own him alone. Jazakumullah khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I'll see you all next tomorrow, inshallah. Same time, same place. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.